We wish you a refuah shleima l'tmima emuna bat Davida Malka, v'briyut tova l'kol ha'mishpacha. Davida was a student of ours years and years ago. Frightens me to think how old I am. In any event, we're up to the parasha Dvarim. Dvarim, everybody knows that Dvarim comes before Tisha B'Av. But all of these parashiyot that we're about, starting from Pinchas, right? Pinchas? After Pinchas is, what comes after Pinchas? Matot Masei Dvarim Ba'et Chanan. All of these parashiyot about Eretz Yisrael, starting from Pinchas. Pinchas, there's a counting. Bnei Israel are counted again in Pinchas for the purposes of the Nachala, of somehow attributing portions of Eretz Yisrael to them. And that continues throughout the entire book of Dvarim, actually. I mean, if you subtract the mitzvot that are in the book of Dvarim, the stories are all about going to Eretz Yisrael, being in Eretz Yisrael, the danger of Eretz Yisrael. I mean, all of this is part of what's going on. So in this week's parasha, maybe we'll start from the pre-tzaddik. There's an interesting pre-tzaddik at the end of Masay, which is on the sheet that you have before you. So it says, this is what it says in the pasuk, Eile shmot ha'anashim asher yinchalu lachem, Eile shmot ha'anashim asher yinchalu, asher yinchalu lachem, Elazar HaKohen v'Yoshua ben Nun. Now everybody knows that Eretz Yisrael was divided up amongst the Shvatim by Moshe Rabbeinu, who divided up, who gave out the land of Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Manasseh, and the rest in Eretz Kenaan on the western side of the Jordan River by Yoshua ben Nun. But the pasuk says, Elazar HaKohen v'Yoshua ben Nun. And it's not clear, at least not obvious, what Elazar HaKohen, what exactly his job is in Chalukat Eretz Yisrael. And this is the question, that Rav Tzadok asks. He says, L'chol et ha'aretz, at the end of the pasuk, Hinei ha'nisi'im. He says, I know what the Nisi'im did. They were manchilim li Yisrael. They were manchilim li Yisrael. Are you coming for this year? Or for some other year? What? Oh, downstairs. Usually he's downstairs. The Nisi'im, the princes of each tribe, had something to do with actually getting the land for Bnei Yisrael. Hainu shebiruru chelik lekol echad. That is to say, they clarified what each family received. Here it says kol echad, but it means the actual division was a division by families. Ach l'nchol haynu l'chbosh et ha'aretz b'yad ha'knanim. There's something called nachala. There's something called making it yours, inheriting it. He says, l'chbosh et ha'aretz b'yad ha'knanim ze hayal yidei Yoshua b'uvad. So we now know the Nisi'im, they're the ones who represented the families in the tribe in getting the land. Yoshua, he led Bnei Yisrael to conquering the land. And each of these notions have halachic implications, right? Kibush and Nachalot. But Elazar, lo yetza lemilchama. Elazar didn't go to fight for Bnei Yisrael, at least as far as we know. It wasn't lo yitzal milchama. Velo huzkar kan, And so Lama, I'm sorry, Lama Uskakad, so why is Elazar mentioned? Or another way of saying that is, what was his job? Right, again, the Pasuk says, Elazar Kohen Yehoshua Ben Nun. Furthermore, it says, Lama, Va'od Kodav Yehoshua. Va'od. Furthermore, his name is mentioned in the Pasuk before Yehoshua's name, which might indicate that he was more important than Yehoshua. Might indicate. Ba'av she'ne'emar v'lifnei Elazar ha'kohen ya'amod, and even though it says in the Pasuk v'lifnei Elazar ha'kohen ya'amod, ya'amod means to stand, to be placed before, ve'ita ha'kavod eino zaz mi'beit avicha. Right, that the kavod, honor, does not move away from the house of your fathers. She'af Yehoshua she'omei taktecha lifnei Elazar kohen yamod. This is like a nudniki question, where he tries to say that Yehoshua should get first reference over Elazar. So he's like, strengthens the question. So he says, Zeu rak l'shol ba'urim v'tumim. That's only in order to function as the Kohen. The Kohen had this ability to read the Urim V'Tumim, right? Urim V'Tumim? Even before Yale University, there were Urim V'Tumim. And the Urim V'Tumim directed Bnei Yisrael whether to go to war, not to go to war. And so it was the Kohen who had jurisdiction. He was the one who read the Urim V'Tumim and made sure that they would be understood. And that you had to go to Elazar. So it's the pre-tzaddik is trying to say that. Yes, I know that Elazar was a very important person and that he was in charge of the Urim V'Tumim. Aval lo linchol v'lichbosh, but this has nothing to do with inheriting the land and conquering it. The people who are involved in inheriting the land and conquering the land were Moshe Rabbeinu, Yehoshua, Nisim. That's what there was. Elazar was not part of this process because you didn't have to ask the Urim V'Tumim whether to conquer the land or not. Moshe Rabbeinu, after all, directed them, right? As he directed them in all other things as well. So, lo linchol v'lichbosh. Achsham katub gam kein, al piv yetzu, val piv yavou, al piv musav al Elazar, hu al Yehoshua. Al-Piv, Musav al-Elazar, even though it would seem that Al-Piv goes back to Elazar in the Pasuk, it really comes, it really is about Yehoshua, the Moshe Pirish Rashi. So if you just stop for a minute and turn over the page, and then you see the last Pasuk in the page, see the last Pasuk, Bamidbar Perikav, that's the Pasuk that the Pre-Tzadik is referring to. The Pasuk says, "Lifnei Elazar Kohen Ya'amod." Right? You know, these verbs are always difficult. Right? Verbs are always difficult because you use them a lot, so they have like different meanings in different places. "Lifnei Elazar Kohen Ya'amod." That he will stand before Elazar Kohen. So who's he? V'sha'alo, and we'll ask b'mishpat ha'urim lifnei Hashem. And he will ask him, what is the decision, the determination of the Urim? Urim is short for Urim V'Tumim. Lifnei Hashem, right? So that's Yehoshua will speak to Elazar and will ask him about the Urim V'Tumim. And then it says in the Pasuk, Al-Piv Yetzu Val-Piv Yavo, in accordance to the answer that you get from the Urim V'Tumim, you'll either go to war or you'll cease from war. Who another pronoun, right? He, you have to kind of figure out who that is. B'chol b'nei Yisrael ito, all of b'nei Yisrael with him, b'chol ha'edah. B'chol ha'edah, all of the edah, who the edah is, as opposed to b'nei Yisrael, is a problem. Not a problem, but you know, it's something you have to think about. Rashi, l'fnei Elazar kohen yamod, הרי שאלתך ששאלתה שאין הכבוד הזה זז מבית אביך. This question that you ask, that the kavod, that this kind of special relationship that you have, מבית אביך, שאף יהושע יהי צריך לאלעזר, ולפני אלעזר. So that's what the pasuk is saying. The pasuk is saying that even though Yoshua inherited the mantle of Moshe Rabbeinu, he has a certain limit. There are certain limits, and that limit is the inheritance of Elazar from his father, Aaron HaKohen. So that Kuhuna limits Malchut. That's what this pasuk says. Malchut is all powerful, but there are certain decisions that could only be made by Kahuna, by the Urim V'Tumim. This is called checks and balances, right? That's how the Torah sees checks and balances. So, V'sha'alo, Rashi, V'sha'alo, Yoshua will ask, right? Kishe Yitzdarech, let's say, L'milchama, when he has to go to war, Yoshua will go to Elazar. Al-Piv Shel Elazar, he'll go to war. Al-Piv Shel Elazar, he'll refrain from war. And then Rashi says, V'chol Ha'edah has to do with the Sanhedrin. This takes us away from our topic. But you understand that Rashi thought that this was a problem. Like what V'chol Ha'edah, V'chol Ha'edah means. I mean, it's in the Gemara, but that's not the point. The point is that it's a difficulty. You wouldn't know what Kol Haida is unless somebody told you. So let's go back to the Pritzadik. The Pritzadik says, I'm in the sixth line. Al-Piv Yeitzuv Al-Piyavo, who? Al-Piv Musav Al-Elazar, who? Al-Yehoshua. That Yoshua will go to Elazar to ask him this question. V'hu dichtiv lifnei Elazar ha-kohen ya'amod. That's what it says at the beginning of that pasuk that we just read. V'lama nitzrach la'amod lifnei Elazar ha-kohen yishalo. V'yomalo atzat Hashem v'mishvat orim. So Rav Tzadok takes every word of the pasuk very seriously. You can say, the pasuk says, lefnei Elazar kohen yamod. What is yamod? He'll stand. What does that say? Stand? Or he'll sit? Or he'll kneel? Or he'll lie? I mean, what difference does it make? The point is that he's getting direction from Elazar. So he said, lama nitzrach la'amod lefnei Elazar kohen yishalo. He could ask him. What does the pasuk have to say? Yamod. What do we learn from that? Achenyanhu al derech masha amru bepara aduma. Dichtiv. This is a drasha that has to do with para aduma, which you remember from the parasha of Chukat. V'shachat ota lefanav. It's an interesting Gemara. The Gemara says that anybody can check the Parah Adumah, but Elazar has to see it. He has to connect to what's going on by looking. Elazar ro'eh. B'lama nitzrach sheyeh Elazar ro'eh. So the Brit Tzadik says, I don't say in the Gemara. Why should Elazar stand there and look at the Parah Adumah being slaughtered? What difference does it make? Right? We know that halacha is that certain things that only the Kohen can do in the Beit HaMikdash, and some things that Zar can do as well. So in this case, the Gemara says, Zar Shochet. What is Elazar Ro'eh? What could that possibly mean? So he says, Acha Esek Shel Paraduma. So everybody knows this, that Paraduma, this red heifer, Hu Litaken Kilkul HaEgel, comes to fix the problem of the Egel HaZahav, of the golden calf. Kemosha Amru, Tavo Para, Utechaper Al HaEgel. This is what it says, Chazal say, that the Paraduma somehow is an atonement for the Egel, whatever that means. Not our issue. Not our issue. Our issue is Elazar. That's our issue. So he says, Hainu, Shebebatan Torah Nemar Az, Ani Amati, Elohim Atem, Delo Havu Maiti, Kimo Shamru Bavodah Zarah, V'chakach Kilkaltem Maaseichem, Achen Ka'adam Temutun. At first it was sort of agreed that you would never die, that nobody would ever die. But then you messed up, and so death came into the picture. V'al-yidei ma'aseh paraduma, shemitaher mitumat, mate, but the paraduma somehow purifies those who become to me, mate, who become unclean because they come into contact with the dead bodies. Nitkan, or nitakein, or nitkan, hakilkul b'shorish. So somehow, this takes care of the problem of the kilkul of Egel HaZahav. Further, litakein achet bashor. So what do I mean when I say, this is Rav Tzadok said, what do I mean when I say nitkan achet bashorish? That the root of the chet, which caused people to die, right, to live and to die, nitkan achet bashorish, nitzrach sheyeye Elazar ro'eh kimo she'amarnu. A new idea, an idea. Remember the Gemara says, Zar Shochet, anybody can slaughter the Paraduma, but Elazar has to look. That's one part. Second part is, Paraduma somehow uproots the essential chet of Egel HaZahav. Right, so the conclusion is, well, not conclusion, but the way he puts it out is that the reason that the para aduma can uproot the root of the chet of Egel HaZahav is because Elazar is looking at it. Because he's looking at it. That somehow it's a job. It does something. It's not stam shchita. It's not stam a korban. It's looking. And it's the looking that does it. So if you look, so if we continue now, he says, "Kemosha amarnu amadichdiv, vayar Elokim et haor ki tov perush shal yedei reiyat Hashem." That's a pasuk in Bereishit. We'll look at it in a second. Vayar Elokim et haor ki tov, or ki tov, vayar, vayar. What does vayar mean? He saw it. Elazar, he saw the paraduma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he saw the or, he saw the light, he saw it. Peyush, Shal Yedei Riyat Hashem Yitbarach B'Habriyah. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw in the creation, Kiviyachol, so to speak, Hichnis Bo HaOr Ki Tov, that was itself a action. In other words, it's a verb, right? Let's turn over the page. Back to it. Here. Where is it? Where is it? No, don't turn the page. It's on the same side. Atap. See where it says Pasuk Talit? Vayar Elokim et Ha'or. You have to understand how Rav Tzadok works. When you see these words, Vayar Elokim et Ha'or, you say to yourself, oh, and God saw. Like, surprise, surprise. There's Or, and the Or is Kito. Rav Tzadok says, that's ridiculous. Vayar Elokim et Ha'or means, and God did something to the Or. And what did God do to the Or? He vayard it. That's what he did to it. Right? Vayar Elokim et Ha'or ki tov. Just like the continuation of the Pasuk says, Vayavdel Elokim bein Ha'or ben Ha'choshek. Vayavdel Elokim means that God did something. Separated the light from the darkness. I mean, I don't mean to say I understand what that means, but we all are sympathetic to the idea that vayavdel means to do something, and vayar not so much. But Rav Tzadok says that vayar means, and God did it. He did vayar. So look at pasuk dalet. Yeah.
What you're saying is amazing. That's exactly the Copenhagen understanding of physics.
Say that again. That's exactly what?
It was a great debate in Copenhagen about 100 years ago. And the whole question was, does looking at it bring it to existence? Does looking at anything make a change in it? And the answer is essentially...
Oh, you mean Berkeley?
What?
Berkeley.
Berkeley,
what's Berkeley? Berkeley is the name of an English philosopher.
Not Einstein.
Berkeley is before Einstein. He walked into a tree.
He's talking about it.
Yeah, you're talking about Einstein?
No.
He's talking about Heisenberg?
Philosophy is out of date.
Anti-Semite.
Okay,
Heisenberg and Schrodinger. I read that book. I tried to read it. Very fat. That's all I remember. It's a fat book. Yes, true. But I want you to understand. But I don't think that Ratzolik knew physics. But I think he said something that is important. And that is like words have layers upon layers of meaning. So again, look at the Rashi. Pasuk Dalet, Rashi. Vayar lakim et or ki tov vayavdel. Af bazeh anu tzrichim lidivrei agadah. For this we also have to use this is like a Rashi problem. You know that Rashi in Bereishit and Noach, the first two parashiyot of the Torah, very often says Medrash Agada. He says that you can't handle this pasuk unless you adopt the comment in the Agadah, in the non-halachic sources. So he says, Ra'ahu she'eino kedai lishtamesh bo risha'im. Hashem saw that the Or was too good for the world, because the world would have wicked people in it. And the Or and the wicked people just didn't get along. Vivdilo litzadikim latid lavo. Vivdilo, and he set it aside for the righteous. Latid lavo. Now, of course, the question is, Rashi doesn't explain, when is latid lavo? And where exactly is the light that God put away, latid lavo? So generally, I think when you learn the Rashi, you know, we read this parasha at Simchas Torah, right? The Simchas Torah, the thing that defines Simchas Torah is that no one learns any Torah on Simchas Torah. We have it worked out. It's impossible, no matter how much you try, you can't do it. So, what?
It's terrible.
It's an insult to Parashat.
It would seem to be counterindicated.
Right.
You have to say it in a subtle way. But in any event, people are so interested in sponge cake that they would do anything not to learn Torah, you know. So here we have it. Latid Lavo. We don't know what Latid Lavo is. Now if you go back to the Rav Tzadok. Let's go back to Rav Tzadok. Rav Tzadok says here, Uletakena Chet Bashoresh. It's line 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. The second word on the line. Letakena Chet Bashoresh. How do you fix the chait of Egel Azahab in a kind of essential manner, like you uproot it. Uproot is a strong word. Nitzrat she'yel Azar ro'eh. It's important that Elazar should see it. Kimosha amarnu, alma dichtiv, vayar lokim et ha'or, kitov. That the first one, the author of Riya, the author of, or the, what did Kalbach say? The address? You know, like, where does Re'iyah come from? Where does it come from? It comes from this pasuk. Vayar Elokim et ha'or. It was God did something to the light. And what was the pu'ula, the action that God took? What was it? It was looking. God looked at the light, strange as that may be. And so Rav Tzadok says, the takena chet b'chorish nitzrach she'yel ro eh. That it was because of looking that the Or Ki Tov was put wherever it was put. Right? So now if we look again at the first part of the Pasuk, in Bereshit, it says Bereshit bara Elokim et ha'shamayim et ha'aretz. You see that pasuk on the top of the page. Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, For many years, people thought that the Rabbi Yitzchak that was referred to was Rashi's father, but apparently it is not. It's Rabbi Yitzchak found in the Tanchuma. There are two Tanchumas. Right? One is the regular Tanchuma, and the other one is the less regular Tanchuma, which used to be called the Buber Tanchuma. Used to be called that because Buber found the Buber's grandfather, Martin Buber was a philosopher who taught in the Hebrew University and looked very frum but wasn't. And so his grandfather looked for him and was. And he had this thing about collecting manuscripts and publishing them. So he published a version of the Tanchuma that he found. He just, you know, published it. And then it was called Buber Tanchuma. But you know what happens. The name became... The name Buber became unsavory to many, especially people who might learn it. And so it was renamed as Tanchuma Yashan or Tanchuma Bet. And now if you buy a Tanchuma, a regular Tanchuma, it usually will have Buber's Tanchuma in it, like a separate part, but under a different name, a slightly different name. So this is a quote from Buber Tanchuma. That's what I mean to say. That's how we got to all of this. Omar Rabbi Yitzchak lo yatzirich la'atchil et ha'Torah ele me'achodesh zelechem. This is a theological argument of great significance, right? Rabbi Yitzchak said the Torah should have started from a mitzvah. The Torah is about mitzvot. It's not about stories, right? So he says me'achodesh zelechem. I mean, there are mitzvot in the book of Bereshit, but they are to individuals, like Pruervu and Giran Hashem. But the first mitzvah that was given to Am Yisrael was a Chodesh Zelachem, right in the parish of Bo. Is it Bo? Mm-hmm. So he says, Matam Patak Bereshit. So why did the Torah start from the story of the creation of the world? I mean, after all, it doesn't make any difference how the world was created. If a person believes that God created the world. I mean, it doesn't make any difference if he knows the details of how God created the world. At least you could make that argument. But the Rav, he says, Mishum koch ma'asav igiv la'mo, latet lehem nachlat goyin. But there's a pasuk in Tehillim that says, koch ma'asav, God's power is divulged to Amo, to the nation, right? But creation is power, and all of creation is God's power. Now, why is this important for us to know? She'im yomru umot ha'olam li'Yisrael listimatem. Because if the nations of the world come and they say to Bnei Yisrael, you are robbers, the way I understand that is this. If the seven nations of Canaan come to Yoshua ben Nun and they said, we're here because God put us here, you are arguing that God said you should kick us out. But your argument is not as good as our argument, because we're fixed, we're here. And we wouldn't be here if God didn't want us to be here. So why should we believe you when you say that God wants you to kick us out? So that's listim atem. You're stealing it from us. Shekavashtem arutzot shivat agoyim. Hey, momim lahem kol arutz shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu ubira'ah netanah l'asher yashar be'einav. So we say, look, it all belongs to God. God decides who the owners are. God decides who the owners are. But this is not, to my mind, may not be such a great argument. I mean, they still say, they're still right, the seven nations. They're there because God put them there. Which is why, by the way, I mean, if I was that kind of a person, I would say that's why we have so many problems today. Because we have never resolved this. We have never resolved it. It doesn't matter what members of the Knesset say. We have not resolved this question to the satisfaction of ourselves or the people in the world. So if you put these things together, it seems to me that the first pasuk in the Torah teaches us that there is a renewal, that things can start over again. And it's not always the way it was. And you can't make that argument. Now, if that were true, that you can't make the argument that there is no renewal, that everything should stay the same, that whatever God decided once is a permanent kind of decision. If you say that, if you make that argument, you have to say, what is the indicator that things can start off again? What indicates that things can renew themselves? That there can be a renewal? This is an idea that is true for Torah, for example. People say it about Torah, but I'm talking about the Bria itself. What argument can we make for saying that Bria, that the creation of the world, goes through renewal? So that's in Pasuk Dalit, Vayar Elokim et Haor Ki Tov, that God took the light and put it away, started over again. Right? And what is it that makes you start over again or enables you to start over again? Vayar. The look of things. The looking at something. That word means a new start. A new beginning. It's all new. So if that is true, then that means that the way we started was, why does Yoshua have to stand before Elazar? What is Yoshua and Elazar? Yoshua and the Nesiim, Moshe Rabbeinu, Yoshua and the Nesiim, what do they have to do with Elazar? Whatever to do with Elazar? It's true, as the Pre-Tzaddik says, when you go to war, or you refrain from war, you have to ask the Urim B'Tumim, and the Urim B'Tumim are the provenance of Elazar HaKohen. But now, when Am Yisrael is going to the Eretz Yisrael, why does Yoshua have to accept the authority of Elazar. What is Elazar's job? So what did he say? What did he, the pre-tzaddik, says? His job is to look. He looks at it. And what is looking at it do? It starts it up again. And Rashi says in the first Rashi, he says, in the Pasuk Dalit, he says, if the lo, the or, he set aside the light that tzaddikim latid lavo. And latid lavo could possibly mean Yoshua. When Yehoshua conquered the land, then the re'iyah, this idea that everything can start over again, that everything can start anew, that everything can be can begin, that idea took place when Yehoshua said to Elazar, you come with us. We need you, because we don't want to simply conquer the land, because that's something that doesn't have any permanence to it, as history has indicated. No conquest is forever. I mean, it would seem. But we want the conquest of Eretz Israel to be forever. In order for the conquest of Eretz Israel to be forever, it has to be new. The conquest has to be something that never happened before, that never was before. That was that the pasuk says, "Vayar lekim et ha'or ki tov." Vayar lekim et ha'or ki tov, applying to the project of Eliezer and Yeshua in the conquering or conquest of Eretz Israel, I think. Okay, I know it's early, but
I don't understand though why the looking at the sacrifice makes it new again.
No, it says it. His point was that it uproots something min hashoresh. It changes the reality. It does. It's like the chait of the parah aduma, of the egel azahav, didn't exist. Doesn't exist anymore. So that's like an idea that people say, like, what happened to it? I mean, I didn't want to go into that too much, because you know that the pasuk says that we're going to be continuously punished for the egel azahav. But this is an idea that he gleans from the Talmudic sources.
Is this like kind of like a rewind or a reset?
Maybe. Not my words. It's like a new beginning. It's like the thing really starts from now. That explains what Rashi says in Bereishit, that you somehow, there's a now to things. That the argument that the nations come and they say to the Jews, you're listening, you stole it from us. So really what we answer them is, we say, no, it starts from us. There is nothing before us, at least conceptually, right? Because Elazar looked, and by looking, it was a way of starting everything over again, a new start.
So you said Latid Lavo is Vimeyo.
Could be,
okay,
yeah.
But is that something that happens periodically?
I don't know. I mean, you could imply whatever you imply from it. But I think that the problem that the pre-tzaddik is dealing with is this idea of permanence. Like, what makes something permanent in the eyes of God? Like, how do you distinguish between an accidental reality and permanent? That's a problem that we have today, right? People all over, Jews all over the world, have to make a decision about where permanence is. Is it all over the world, or is it in Eretz Yisrael? I mean, it's like an issue. It's an issue that we as a nation have difficulty with. I mean, I'm not trying to argue a case, but at the time of Yeshua, there was no question about it. Everybody was going to Eretz Yisrael. It was not the question that people had. As I always say, I'll always tell you that the spies that Yeshua sent, remember those spies? Right, so they were?
So the ones who visited Rahab.
Right. They met up with Rahab, which is an interesting side point, and they made a deal with her. They made a deal. She'll save them, and they'll save her and her family. When they come to Eretz Yisrael, they went back to Yoshua and they reported. It was hard to understand what it was exactly that they were going to report, because after all, they didn't do anything. They came to Yericho, they were set upon by the soldiers, by the police. So what were they going to report to Yoshua exactly? You think they came to see where the strength was, what the roads are, how to get here, how to get there. So what they told Yoshua was what Rahab told them. And what Rahab told them was, we know who you are. You're coming in the name of God. So if I extrapolate from that, or if I inverse it somehow, if the answer to Yoshua's question is, what do they think of us? Not to spy out the land, but find out what they think of us. So the answer was, they think we're coming in the name of God. So it's like Yoshua said, that's what I want. I don't want them to think we're just murderers who are coming from Mongolia to take over Greece. Right? We're not like that. We're doing what God wants us to do. But it only works if they know that. If they understand who we are. And so the spies came back to Yoshua and they said, they know. They know who you are. They know what it is. If you look at the Perek Aleph in Yoshua, a Haftorah that we read twice a year. Yeah, so you should, you'll take a look at the Haftorah. You see, it's there. It's black on white. It's not something that I'm making up. So Yoshua wanted, in other words, in order for the conquest somehow to take, to be real, to change the face of the world, everybody had to understand what the issue was, including the Canaanites. The Shiva Amame. Okay, thank you.
So they took the testimony of a woman.
Rahab? Yeah. Not divorcing her husband.
Anyway, she was wrong.
About what?
If everybody knew they came in the name of God, they wouldn't have had to fight.
Well, I guess not everybody was convinced, but that was the conversation. That's what they said to Yoshua. That's what they said to Yoshua.